Let's worship the Lord together through song as we stand together and sing out glory to His name. Let's sing it out together.
Down at the cross where my Savior died.
Singing, you can be seated.
Welcome to First Baptist Church of Wixom, and thank you for joining us for worship today. Here are a few upcoming events to help you stay connected.
Community groups continue tonight at 5 p.m. If you are not yet connected with a Sunday p.m. community group, please visit fbcwixom.org/community groups for more information. Community groups meet most Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. The first session of the E3 Starting Points class began this morning. If you are new to FBC and missed the first class, you can still join us next week. The Starting Points class is designed to engage attenders in church life by answering key questions about FBC. If you have never attended the Starting Points class, you are encouraged to attend next Sunday at 9:45 in room 403.
Adults, mark your calendars for a great time of fellowship and competition this coming Friday, January 27th. We are planning an adult indoor cornhole tournament from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. that is sure to entertain. Please sign up in the link. Additional details will be provided this week. There will be a meeting this Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Peru Missions Team. Dinner will be provided. If you have any questions regarding this meeting or the Peru Missions trip, please see Johnny Martin after the service.
In just a few minutes, we'll be dismissing children 4 years through the third grade out the back of the auditorium to our junior church ministry. While there, they will enjoy a great time as they sing songs, play games, and hear a message from God's Word prepared just for them. Giving is one of the many ways we have to worship the Lord. If you'd like to give financially, you can utilize the giving box in the back of the auditorium, or you can give online at fbcwixom.org and click on the tab at the top of the page.
If this is your first time at FBC, we would love to connect with you. If you'd like more info about FBC, prayer, or to learn how you can get involved, you can fill out a connections card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Also, make sure to stop by the Welcome Center for a special gift on your way out after the service. Once again, thank you for joining us for worship today. Now we invite you to worship the Lord through song as we prepare to hear from God's Word this morning.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you today. I want to mention a couple of additional things before we open with a word of prayer. First of all, if you give online, we mentioned that this was coming, but in the month of January, we've transitioned from one company to another company. And if you give online, you probably have seen the website PushPay or the name PushPay. And we've transitioned to a new company that we're using called Tithely. They're a little less expensive and a little more user-friendly for us. And I mentioned that this morning, that if you give online as a regular, repetitive giver, you'll need to change that from PushPay to Tithely. It's really simple to do. You just go to our website, click on the Give button. You'll recognize that it's a little bit different, and set up an account there. You can trust it. It's very safe, and it's completely secure. But we ask that you make that change before the end of January, when we no longer have an account with the previous company, with PushPay. So if you could help us with that. We recommend that you use that only for special giving, not for repetitive giving. But some folks' banks don't allow them to give repetitively through the bank. And so it is available, but it does need to be changed. If you have questions about that, you can see Patty Bruder. Patty, can you wave? Or Jeremy Victory, he can help you with that. They can point you in the right direction to get that right. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we'd like to do exchange Bible studies and really focus on those Bible studies during 2023. We've already had a couple of groups start with the exchange Bible study, two that we know of. And we've set a goal this year to try to do 50 as a church, approximately one per family unit. And we'd love for you to get involved in that. If you do an exchange Bible study, particularly if you do it with somebody outside of this group, we won't know about it unless you let us know. So would you let one of the leadership team guys know that? We want to keep track of it and keep you posted throughout the year. We've set a goal of 50. We're at 2, and we're well on our way. Don't be discouraged. We hope that many of you will get involved in giving an exchange Bible study during 2023. On the announcement video, you heard an announcement for the Peru mission trip and a meeting this coming Saturday. If you've been following the news, you might know that Peru has quite a bit of unrest. And so we're getting down kind of to the wire about whether or not that trip's actually going to happen. So instead of having a dinner meeting this Saturday night, if you're on the Peru mission trip team, we're actually just going to have a brief meeting after the morning service next Sunday. So around this time next Sunday, we'll remind you again, but we'll be meeting down in the teen chapel for a brief meeting to discuss kind of final decision making on that trip. And that will be next Sunday after the morning gathering. Lastly, 2 weeks from this morning, 2 weeks from this afternoon, we're going to do a special churchwide lunch in the gymnasium. We hope that you'll plan to stay with us February 5th. Our kitchen team will be putting together a really great lunch to enjoy together on that Sunday. And immediately after the lunch, then, we're going to have our community group meetings, and those are going to be in the building. So it's going to be a little bit different on February 5th. What we want to do is give everybody a chance to participate in community group. If you don't regularly get to participate, we understand, but we'd like for you to see what it's like. And so we're going to do the community groups throughout the building. We're going to do it similar to how we would normally start, but it'll be right after lunch on February the 5th, so no evening meetings on February the 5th. Super glad that you're here today. Let's have a word of prayer as we get started with our service. Father, we're so grateful that we can gather today. Lord, we want to make much of you and lift you up in your greatness and your worthiness today. We pray that you'd help us to do that. Help us to do that as we sing. Help us to do that as we open your word. Lord, today we want to hear truth that matters. And we want to advance the priorities of Jesus. And we want to worship our Savior in spirit and in truth today. And so we ask that you'd open our eyes, that we might see the marvelous and glorious truths that you have for us, that you want to change us with today. Please help us to concentrate on you and to lift you up, even as we sing these songs. We're grateful that we can gather as a body today. We ask that you'd be with our friends and family that are away from us today. We ask for safety and their return. We pray that this time would be sweet fellowship and true worship, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Continue singing this morning. Great truth, simple truth, but a great truth. Jesus, he's the one we need to run to and cling to every single day. Let's sing this out.
Jesus said that if I thirst, I should come to him. No one else can satisfy, I should come to him. good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said, if I am weak, I should come to Him. No one else can be my strength. I should come to Him. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We can always run to Jesus. Jesus strong and kind. Jesus said, if I am lost, He will come to me. And He showed me on that cross, He will come to me. For the Lord is good and faithful. He will keep us day and night. We get all
for such a great truth, the fact that we always have someone to run to, and not just someone who is there for us, but that can handle anything that we are trying to handle, any difficulty, who has a plan over our lives and the power to overcome it. That's a wonderful truth that all of us can cling to. He is always there with us. Let's continue to sing this morning as we praise Him together. He will hold me fast.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, He will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast. Those He saves are His delight. Christ will hold me fast. Precious in His holy sight. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. Bought by Him at such a cost. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so. He will hold me fast.
God cares enough about you and makes a way to hold you in His precious hands. Praise the Lord for that truth. You can be seated. This morning I'd like to sing a song based off of a psalm, as we've been doing throughout this month, emphasizing our theme. And this psalm is Psalm 121. I don't read the last couple of verses in that psalm, but the psalm itself is emphasizing the fact that God will always keep us. He will always hold us. He will always be there for us. This is what we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning. But verses 7 and 8 read, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil." I mean, we could stop right there and just praising, thank God for that, right? What a great truth. How much darkness and evil and sinfulness we see out in this world. And yet, our God cares about it and makes a way for escape and provides a way for us to be with Him constantly. "He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." I lift my eyes and see, I need not be afraid. All my help comes from the Lord, who the earth and sky has made. He will keep you from all evils behind you and before. He will sustain you through this journey from now and evermore. The Lord will never speed my steps, He has ordained. For the one who holds the night is the torment of my day. Sustain you through this journey from now and evermore. He will keep you from all evil behind you and before. He will sustain you through this journey from now. He will keep you from all evils behind you and before. He will sustain you through this journey from now and evermore.
Thank you, Jeremy. Really appreciate that. I want you to turn to Psalm 34, if you would, please. Psalm number 34. We've recently started a new series of messages. Actually, we began on January the 1st, called Albums of Worship. And I told you that we were going to be doing a theology in the Psalms. A theology. Well, what is a theology? It's really a study of God that answers two primary questions, and they are this: what is God like? And secondly, what should I do in response to that? I reminded you of a negative example in Scripture where Paul describes the reprobate. In Romans chapter 1, the reprobate has the wrath of God on them. Why? Because Scripture says when they knew God, they saw God, but they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And I reminded you that the reprobate mind sees, watch this really carefully because this is so easy to do. It sees what God does, and the reprobate mind worships that, what God does. It's the wrong response. What the psalmist does, the psalmist sees what God does and worships God. He says, what a great God. What a great Lord. What a great master I have. This is the right response. You see, the reprobate, they see God, but their focus is not on him. It's not on what he is doing. It's on what they get out of it, the creation, and they worship the creation. And as Holden reminded us last Sunday morning, there are more blessings that God has given in our lives. There are more good things we have because of a relationship with God than we could possibly number. We're not aware of these good things, and we certainly don't take time to say thank you for these good things, but we should try. And that is the goal of this series, that we would lift up together our great God and we would worship him and say, wow, what an awesome God we have. And so this morning, we want to do just that. We've mentioned our God is worthy of praise. We took an entire Sunday morning on January the 1st to talk about that. Psalm 150 reminds us that his greatness is to be applauded. And then for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about specific reasons why. Number one, he's our advocate. Last Sunday morning, Holden reminded us that God is beatific, or that he is the blesser, and that we, in response, are to bless him. It's really a very interesting concept in Scripture that he blesses us with forgiveness and victory over sin. He blesses us with healing and comfort and strength. He blesses us with care and provision as a good father. And what we're to do in response is to bless him. He initiates. Because he has blessed us, we obey. Because he has blessed us, we are rightly motivated. Because he has blessed us, we have a right attitude. And these things bless him, which is really a really unique relationship, that he is just the giver of grace. And in response, we bless him back. Before we get started this morning, I just want to mention to you very briefly, I appreciate so much the fact that when I'm away out of town, that I can turn on Facebook live stream and hear our guys give us as a church truth that matters and lift up Jesus. I'm so grateful for it. Would you amen that with me? I'm so grateful. I don't know if you ever do this, so maybe you can't appreciate it like I can appreciate it. But last Sunday afternoon, Mari and I, after lunch, after visiting with her parents in their church on Sunday morning, we got in the car and immediately we turned on the Facebook recording and we listened to the worship and we listened to the message, and our hearts were so full. And we kept saying to each other, I'm so grateful for our church. I can't wait to be back next Sunday morning and worship together with our church. I'm grateful for our men faithfully lifting up Jesus for us. What a joy that is. This morning, we're going to be looking at Psalm number 34 in a message that I've entitled, Our God is Close. He's Close. I was recently looking for a Home Depot. I spend a lot of time at Home Depot and occasionally Lowe's, most often Menards. But where I was, they had Home Depots. And so I was looking for a Home Depot. So I pulled out my phone and I pulled up maps and I plugged in Home Depot. And I found one, but it was like 20 minutes away. But really close by, there were three of what I found called mobile Home Depots. That's not the same thing as a Home Depot, okay? So I was pretty excited about it. I thought, like, what's a mobile Home Depot? Is that like a Home Depot in a truck? And will they come to me? Like, I mean, if I could get a Home Depot to pull into my driveway, that would be, like, perfect. I was super excited. And then Mari brought me back down to earth, and she's like, you knucklehead. That is not a mobile Home Depot. That is a mobile Home Depot, all right? It's a little bit different. Close, but not the same thing. All right. Now, this morning, I want to tell you that God is close, but I'm not talking about that kind of close, as in sort of or almost. God is close as in he's nearby, proximity. In fact, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. So Jesus is here with us this morning. This is why it brings me such great joy when our men lift up Jesus for the church, because that is the whole purpose of this gathering. We don't lift him up. Imagine the offense to our Savior. He's here, but not being worshipped appropriately. This morning, we want to lift him up and be reminded that our God is close. Now, you might see a heading in your Bible before this psalm that was added by editors. And that heading maybe says something about the story of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech. Let me just remind you of that story. So this happened right after David and Jonathan had their conversation about their friendship. Do you remember? It was kind of a strange conversation. Jonathan took a bow and arrow and shot the arrow, and he told the young lad, "The arrow is beyond you," which was supposed to be a symbol to David that there's no way you can resolve your relationship with the king. You need to run, right? And so it's exactly what happens. He shoots it. He says that. Then David and Jonathan apparently meet briefly for a moment, and they commit to one another. "We're going to be friends for life." Jonathan says, "I am committed to following you. I know you're going to be the next king. I know you're anointed. My loyalties are to you, David." And then they split. They leave. It's sort of a discouraging time for David. And scripture tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 21 that David goes to this priest named Ahimelech. It's a little bit confusing. And then to the king of Gath named Achish, who later is known as Abimelech. All right. So there's a couple of similar names that are a little bit confusing. But you know the story, I think. So David is afraid for his life, and he's before this king of the Philistines, and they recognize him as, "Isn't this the guy that killed Goliath? Let's kill him," right? And so David then is at the end of his rope. He's absolutely desperate. He's in the enemy's camp. They want to kill him, and so he pretends to go crazy. He's desperate. I mean, he literally pretends to go mad. And I was just thinking, that's kind of the last straw, isn't it? I mean, in what kind of circumstance would you intentionally pretend to go crazy and stay with it more than just a couple minutes? Okay, maybe you've done that for just for laughs, but to stay with it, David pretends to lose his mind. He's at the absolute end of his rope, and tradition has it that that experience is what inspired this psalm. "When I am desperate, I'm absolutely at the end of my rope, I need God to be close." Now notice the beginning of this psalm, just like last week, is an introduction of praise. And I love how Holden mentioned this last week. Basically, the psalmist is saying this: "Hey, I'm going to tell you something that you should worship God for. But before I tell you, let's just worship God for a little bit." Okay, it's almost like our Sunday morning pattern, right? Where Jeremy comes and tells us, "Hey, let's sing about our great God before we hear about our great God." That's exactly what the psalmist does. And he starts with these incredible words: "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Why? Why magnify the Lord? Why bless the Lord? Why boast in the Lord? Well, he's going to explain the whole reason we should do this is because he's close. God is close. David did not see his deliverance before King Achish due to his quick thinking. It wasn't due to his wit. It wasn't a bit of luck. It wasn't his acting ability. He gave credit to God and God's closeness, because David understood something that I hope you'll understand this morning by the time we're done. When your friends are far away, when your hope seems like a distant dream, when your mind is seemingly gone, like David's seemingly was, when you are feeling absolutely desperate and at the end of your rope, can I just tell you that God is there? And he's close. He's there, and he's close. So let's read the rest of this psalm, picking up in verse number 4. "I sought the Lord," David says, "and he heard me." He heard me. You got to be close to hear. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked up unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desires life and loves many good days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Would you pray with me briefly this morning, Father? We're so grateful that you have for us in your word truth that matters, truth that can be applied, truth that we can live out. And as we open your word and we dig for truth, Lord, you reveal to us yourself and your worthiness and your greatness. Help us to worship you as we learn about you, and help us to run to you as our refuge because you're close today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to see, first of all, that God is close enough to hear you when you cry. Aren't you glad for that? He's close enough to hear you when you cry. David says in verse 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me. In verse 6, the Lord heard me and saved me out of my troubles. How can God hear our cries when he's in heaven? How can he hear the cries of his own? Well, because he's close. Scripture actually tells us that he's surrounded. Have you ever been surrounded? A couple of times throughout the year, the staff guys and I do a little project here in the building, and we refinish floors. The white waxed floors in the building get refinished. And I will tell you that when you're refinishing floors, it requires a little bit of strategy, because it's very easy to surround yourself and get stuck and not be able to get out. And I've spent some long nights, or part of a long night, in a closet waiting for a floor to dry because I didn't want to mess it up because I was surrounded. You ever been like that? Like, I can't, there's no way I can. This is exactly how David says his perspective of God is. Everywhere I look, God is there. Verse number 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. You remember the story of Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings in chapter 6. Remember that story? His servant's literally chewing his fingernails off because he's afraid. The enemy's coming. Elisha, aren't you worried? We're all going to die. Verse number 16, Elisha answers and says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I can just imagine the servant is like, that sounds great. And I think that would preach, but that's not helping me at all. Like, I'm still afraid. Like, what are we going to do, Elisha? What do we got to run, right? And then Elisha says in verse 17, he prays and he says to the Lord, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha's like, I know something you don't know, and that is that the Lord is close. He's got us completely surrounded. You just can't see it. The Lord is right there when you call. He surrounds you. Here's the way David described it in Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit, Lord? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Lord, you are everywhere, everywhere. The New Testament tells us this as well, that he's close enough to hear us no matter what. 1 John chapter 5, and this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us, and we know that he hears us. God hears the cries of his own. When you are alone, cry out to God. He's close enough to hear you. Number two, he's close enough to protect you when you're afraid. Close enough to protect you. Look at verse 8. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Takes refuge in him. I want to take this just maybe a little bit different direction that you might be thinking. And just think for just a minute about Jesus as a friend. Would you think with me about Jesus as a friend? Do you have any friends in your life that you can show up uninvited at their house? Think about those friends. Okay, not family, friends. Do you have some like that? Those are close friends. Do you have any friends that maybe you have a key to their house or you have the code to their garage and you can actually walk in unannounced? That's a really close friend. Okay, you got to be careful with that one. But that's a really close friend when you can just walk through the door and say, hey, I'm here, right? Now, most of us, we're grateful if in our life we have one or two friends that are that close. You can go to them at any time and you know that you will be welcome. So I want you to just think about Jesus as your friend. It might feel a little bit too casual to refer to Jesus as our friend. But remember in John chapter 15, Jesus says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. Jesus basically is saying, look, you are my servants. I am your master. I am your Lord. But you and I have a special relationship. We're friends, and you can come to me at any time. You've got a key. You don't have to knock. You don't have to wait for an invitation. You're invited. You can lean on Jesus when you are afraid. Remember the disciples in the boat during the storm? The only thing that mattered was that Jesus was in the boat with them, right? And think about it. They're in this boat. Their lives are in jeopardy. The storm is raging around them. All they needed to remember was, oh, yeah, he's the creator. He's got this completely under his control. Jesus is in the boat. Nothing else matters when you realize the one who can solve it is close. He's with you. Now, Mari and I were driving a while ago in Ohio, and I don't know why we were in Ohio of all places, but we were in Ohio. We were actually camping, and it was during kind of the COVID shutdown of campgrounds in this area, and so we went down to Ohio to go camping, and we experienced the closest we've ever come to a tornado. It was so close that we saw the side of a barn in pieces peel off the barn and blow across the road in front of us as we were driving. But one of the problems that we were experiencing is that there was nothing close by. Nothing. In fact, we were so desperate that we pulled into a property that looked sort of semi-abandoned and knocked on the door. Have you ever done that? Scary. Like, we didn't know what was behind that door, and it was a little bit scary, okay? But there was nobody. Like, if one of you lived close by, we'd have gone to your house and gone to your basement because you're our friends. But when you have nothing, it feels very desperate. No place to go. No safety. Can I just tell you that God is with you, that Jesus is in our midst, and that you can go to him at any time. He's close enough to protect you when you're afraid. Psalm 56, verse 3, the psalmist says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. When you're at the end of your rope, hold on to Jesus. He's close. Close enough to hear you, close enough to protect you. And number three, close enough to provide for you when you're in need, to provide for you. Verse 9, oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Verse 10, those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. It's interesting that he says to fear the Lord. We're to run to him when we're afraid, but we're to fear him in awe and respect and wonder. It is those that do that have no lack. Like David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you help me finish that phrase? I shall what? Not want. I don't want. Because I have the Lord, can I just ask you, are you content with the presence of Jesus? Think honestly about that. Are you content with Jesus and what He provides for you? Are you a wanter? You know what? Wanting is the opposite of contentment. Wanting is, in another word, covetousness. You know covetousness, right? That rascal shows up in the Ten Commandments. And then in the New Testament, in these lists of really, really bad sins, like we read and we're like, oh, that's not me. And the covetous, it will say in several lists in the New Testament. And I think, oh man, there's sometimes I'm not content. I'm covetous. I want more. I'm not satisfied with Jesus as I should be. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. You're all worried about what you will eat and what you will drink and what you will put on. He says, the Gentiles seek after this. Your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. Look at verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can I just give you three really quick things that we should be content with? They all start with P, so it's pretty simple. The presence, the provision, and the priorities of Jesus. That's really what He's saying in Matthew chapter 6. I'm with you. That's enough. I'll provide what you need. That's enough. And if you focus on my priorities, advancing my kingdom, I'll just take care of all of the other details. Find contentment in advancing the kingdom of Jesus, promoting His priorities. He's close enough to hear when you cry, close enough to protect when you're afraid, close enough to provide when you're in need. And fourthly, close enough to care what you are doing. Care what you're doing. I was thinking about this. Remember that song we sang when we were kids? Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Right? Remember that? And hands, what you do. And feet, where you go. Why? Because the Father up above is doing what? Looking down in love. So be careful, little hands, little feet, little eyes, little mouth. Well, be careful. I was thinking about that this week and thinking, it's sort of like, think about medieval times, all right? Put your imagination caps on for just a second. And you're a peasant and you're living out in the countryside, all right? And everything's good and it's beautiful and you got sheep baying and the plants are growing and all is well, right? And then the enemy comes over the top of the mountain. You see the enemy coming. Where do you go? Well, you flee to the castle, right? So the peasants are all fleeing to the castle. And suddenly the fear of what's out there outweighs the fear of living under the nose of the king. But when you live in the castle, there's some accountability, right? There's people who care about what you do and how you speak and where you go. And so there's this increased accountability. Now the king is looking over their shoulder. Now they have to obey. And I was thinking about this in terms of us in our Christian life. It's really nice to think about, like, I've got Christian freedom. I've got liberty in Jesus, right? And then problems happen. And I go and I get underneath Jesus and I say, Jesus, you just do whatever you want to do. You protect me and I will obey, right? And we act like that peasant who runs to the king and says, the accountability of being under your watchful eye is worth it if you'll protect me from evil. That's exactly what David is saying. He says, look, children, listen to me, verse 11, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You want to live in the fear of the Lord? You want to live in a place where He can bless you? Well, there's some things you should do. He says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. What the prophet is saying is this to the king. Listen, king, if you had done well, the Lord would see it and the Lord blesses right living. But you haven't done well. You've done evil. The Lord's seen that and He will not bless your endeavors because you've chosen to disobey Him. Do right. The Lord sees right living and blesses it. Holden talked about this last week. This this attitude of the Beatitudes. Lord, I want to be right with you in my heart and in my actions. But when I do wrong, the Lord sees that, and the way of the transgressor is hard. I think it's worth just briefly looking at verses 13 and 14 and just putting them kind of in a nutshell. What does he say? Hey, you want to live under the blessing of the king? You want the master to smile on your life? What should you do? Well, verse number 13, if we kind of put it all together in one phrase, we'd say, well, we need to avoid evil. Avoid evil. There's plenty of evil in our world. Avoid it. Verse number 14, what should I do? Pursue good. Avoid, that's a pretty simple formula, isn't it? Avoid evil and pursue good, because God cares and he's close enough to see what we are doing. Fifthly, he's close enough to strengthen us when we're hurting. I'm so glad for that. He's close enough to strengthen us when we're hurting. I'm not going to reread the whole passage, but let me just point out a couple of things. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him. Verse 22, the Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. What a great prophecy about salvation, right? Those that take refuge in Jesus Christ will not be condemned. So I just real quick want to ask you, are you a believer? Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? You know, not everybody that goes to church goes to heaven. Did you know that? It's those that put their faith in Jesus Christ alone. Those that realize they have a sin problem and need rescued, and Jesus is the only solution to that problem. Are you a believer? And if you're a believer, can I just remind you that sin is hurting you? Your sin is hurting you. And you need to find your refuge in Jesus. Notice this is not a promise that life is easier for the believer. Verse 19 says that many are the afflictions of the righteous. This is a promise that when trouble comes, God is listening. He's caring and he's saving. Do you remember the Apostle Paul's testimony? Apostle Paul, we would say, if we just looked at his life from a secular standpoint, we would say that guy lived a hard life. I mean, I don't know anybody that's been shipwrecked. I don't know anybody that's been stoned. I don't know anybody that's been beaten to death. I don't know anybody that's been jailed multiple times for preaching the name of Jesus. This guy lived a really hard life. But think about it. His life was hard precisely because he followed Jesus. Right? I mean, sometimes we think, Lord, I'm a follower of yours. You got to make this a little easier for me. Paul's life was easy until he chose Jesus. And because he preached the name of Jesus Christ, life was really hard for him. And remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, it's actually kind of an interesting passage, because in spite of all of the difficulty in Paul's life, he has what is seemingly a small prayer request. Lord, I've got this physical ailment. I'm just wondering if you could maybe take it away or make it a little less painful. And Jesus says, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect when you're weak. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I experience strength. Then I am strong. Just tell you that our family can give testimony to this with recent scares with cancer. It tries you. But can I just tell you that it has strengthened our faith, strengthened our marriage, strengthened our worship? Because the weaker we realize that we are, the greater God's grace seems. And the more profound the presence of God is, in a very real and tangible way. I love the song Blessings, written by Laura Story. You might be familiar with it, but it says this: we pray for blessings and we pray for peace, comfort for our family and protection while we sleep. We pray for healing and prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst that this world can't satisfy? And what if the trials of this life, like rain and storms and hard nights, are your mercies in disguise? What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if the trials of this life are actually your mercies in disguise? You see, God is close. He's close enough to hear when you cry, and close enough to protect when you're afraid, and close enough to provide when you're in need, and close enough to care what you're doing, and close enough to strengthen you when you are hurting. So I just want to conclude with a couple of things that I think really matter. Okay? So here's, this is the crux of it. The Word of God, it actually matters. Like, what the Bible says should change the way that we think and should affect the way that we live this afternoon, this evening, and Monday. Oh, Mondays. On Monday and on Tuesday and throughout the week, the truth of the Word of God should affect what we do and who we are. So can I just give you 4 things that I think matter? The first one is this. Make sure you know Jesus personally. Make sure you know Jesus personally. You might say, okay, that sounds nice, Brad. That's gospel-minded preaching, and we need to know Jesus personally. But if I'm here this morning and I don't know Jesus personally, I respect the Word of God, and I respect church enough to come and attend and worship, but I wouldn't say my relationship with God is personal through Jesus Christ. What does that have to do with his closeness? Well, let me just remind you really quickly. In the Old Testament, the Jews had this thing they called the temple, right? For a while, it was the tabernacle. And in the tabernacle and in the temple, there was this space called the holy space or the holy place. And inside the holy place, there was this little tiny room called the Holy of Holies. But only the high priest could go in there, and he could only go in there once a year. Can you believe that? The space, one person allowed in one time a year, the holy place. And it was there that he met with God. And if you were fortunate enough to be clean and have some responsibility in worship, you could even go into the holy place, not the holiest of holies, but you could go into the holy place. And if you were a Jew, you could go inside the walls of the temple. But if you weren't a Jew, you were okay to be in Jerusalem. You just couldn't go in the temple. And there was very specific rules for this. But there's basically these like rings of separation for Gentiles, which most of us are. I can't go in the temple, and I certainly can't go in the holy place, and I can't go in the holiest of holies. Nobody but one person, the high priest, gets to go in there. And so there's these rings of separation. But can I just read you a verse in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23? This is in the Christmas story. Here's what it says. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. So Jesus literally came to earth as a human. Why? So that God could be close. For all of us, not just for the high priest, not just for the Jews that were in ministerial work, not just for the Hebrews, but so that God could be close with all of us. He gave us Jesus, and he manifested himself literally putting on flesh. I mean, it's awesome to have God close, and good for David that he recognized it. But what about having Jesus? I mean, that's even better if you know him. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? It requires understanding your problem. I'm a sinner and I can't rescue myself. I've got to put my faith in something. I'm going to put 100% of that faith in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross in my place. Can I just tell you, if you've never done that, if you've never put your faith in Jesus Christ, do that today. Develop your personal relationship with God through Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to God except through me. So number one, make sure you know Jesus personally. But secondly, get closer to those whom God lives within. Get closer to those whom God lives within. Now you might say, okay, Brad, I get it. I get the closeness. Jesus manifested God in the flesh, so God is close to us. But what does that have to do with fellowship? Well, it's awesome to have God in the flesh, Jesus, but can I do you one better? Jesus says it's even better to have the Holy Spirit within us as individuals. Jesus said it's better. John chapter 17, he says, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, I cannot send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to live within you. So this is really important, and I think this is undervalued in our church, not just Christianity, in this body of believers. This is undervalued. Want to be close to God? Be close to other believers. Right? That's where God's at. The Holy Spirit is within each one of us. Right? So, I don't like being up there all by myself. Sometimes I want to be down here with other believers. Right? I'm not talking about less like spooky, mystical, supernatural thing. But I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit is within each of us. So believers that are yielded to the Holy Spirit, fellowship with other believers is not just a nice part of Sunday. It's an absolutely essential part of spiritual health. Are you with me? And some of us experience this to a deeper degree than do others. Those that are involved in discipleship and those that are involved in community groups, you experience this at times and you might not even realize what's going on. But you're like, man, I just feel so spiritually connected with this person. I feel like emotionally and spiritually, like we just gave each other a great big hug. It's the Holy Spirit. And yet some say, ah, that's really not for me. Like, I don't love people enough to be that close. I'd be careful with that. You know what John said? If you don't love your brother, how does the love of God dwell in you? It's rhetorical. He's saying it doesn't. If the love of God dwells within you, then you want to love your brother. You want to love your sister in the Lord. You want to fellowship. It's such a blessing to be close to God by being close to others. And I don't know, if you've never experienced this, I think something's really, really deeply missing in your spiritual life. Because it's such a blessing to sit across a table or at the end of a couch from a brother and have him say to you, here's how I prayed for you this week. This is the passage of Scripture I claimed for you this week. This is what the Lord convicted me about in my life, and I want to share it with you this week. And you notice that, man, our hearts are knitting together in a really unusual way. What's going on? It's the Holy Spirit. As we get closer to those whom God lives within, we experience the presence of God in a very real way. Jesus said, it's even better than if I was with you. Imagine that. Having coffee with a friend and Jesus, that would be pretty awesome. And yet Jesus says, oh, it's better. You guys just have the Holy Spirit within you, knitting your hearts together. Number three, seek God's presence through spiritual disciplines. We've talked about these before, but, you know, Scripture says, draw nigh to God and he'll do something. What is it? He'll draw nigh to you. Well, how do you draw nigh to God? What does that look like? How do you draw nigh to God? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't look like. It doesn't look like opening the news first thing in the morning. That does not draw you nigh to God. It pushes you away from God. Nothing sinful necessarily about news. It just doesn't help you walk closer to the Lord. Starting work 5 minutes after my brain wakes up, that doesn't draw me any closer to the Lord. It just pushes me away because it just fills my mind with my busyness. How do you draw nigh to God? Well, you spend time in His Word. You spend some quiet time in prayer. True fellowship, we've mentioned. Good music. Worship music for me in the morning has become like coffee. Like if I don't have worship music, it's really hard for my brain to wake up spiritually. Seek God's presence through spiritual disciplines. And then lastly, this is kind of an extension of that one. Pray first when you feel desperate. Pray first. Our son used to wear a t-shirt that said, "Waits before dates" on it. You know, that's a pretty good theme for a teenage boy, right? I would say that a lot of Christians need to wear a t-shirt maybe that says, "Pray before panic." You know, because what we tend to do is we tend to sort of hit the panic button. What are we going to do? I'm going to have to check my line of credit. See if I've got enough to get me out of this. I'm going to have to phone a friend. I got to panic. I got to post. Whatever you do when you panic. Can I just tell you? Pray first. Pray first. And a couple of weeks ago on Sunday night, Holden actually asked this question in the introduction to community groups. Like, what does prayer, what should prayer look like when we're in crisis mode? And we talked about that a little bit, and I think it's right for us to avoid saying, "Lord, rescue me from the crisis," at first, and just to say, "Lord, glorify yourself through this crisis. Like, help me to glorify you. You know the desire of my heart that you would take this crisis away, just eliminate it. But if you'll get more glory, help me to glorify you as I walk through this crisis." He's close and he wants to help. Prayer before panic. Lord, thank you for your word and thank you that you're close. Thank you for the promises of Jesus. There's so many of them. As we think about his promise to be with us even unto the end of the age. His promise to be among us when two or three are gathered in his name. His promise to go with us and bring to mind his truth when we share him with others. Lord, we hold on to those promises. But this morning, Lord, I think there's probably some who are crying. There's probably some who are hurting. Lord, there's probably some here this morning who are afraid. And Lord, I ask that you'd help us to turn to the right source of comfort, to run in the right direction, to seek refuge in our personal relationship with you made possible by Jesus Christ. Father, because of Jesus, you've actually thrown wide open the veil that stands between us and the holiest place, your throne, your presence. Because of Jesus, this morning we can walk right in and seek mercy and grace to help in time of need. And so, Lord, this morning I just ask that you would minister that grace and that mercy to those who are hurting. But I know it. I'm confident that we have beloved parts of the body here who are sicker than they've let the rest of the body even know. They're more lonely and discouraged than they've let the rest of the body know. Lord, there's people here who are hurting and worried and fearful. Lord, we don't want to discount or discredit that, but we want to be reminded as a body that we can turn to you, and you are a loving God, and you are full of grace that is sufficient for us as we go through difficulty. Remind us of that and help us in our minds today and tonight to worship you for that truth. Thank you for being close. Thank you for reminding us of these things in your word today. Thank you for our risen Savior. We pray this in his name. Amen.
There, as we close with a great song, "All I Have Is Christ," and we're reminded this morning, he's enough. Amen. That's in the sound.
I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. The sin that robbed his joy in life had led me to the grave. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still. Alleluia, all I have is Christ. Alleluia, Jesus is my life. But as I ran, my help outraced, in indifferent to the cost. You look upon my helpless state and led me to the cross. And I beheld God's love displayed. You suffered in my place. You bore the wrath reserved for me. Now all I know is grace. Alleluia. All I have is Christ. Alleluia. Jesus is my life.
Now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so all might see the strength to follow your commands could never come from me. Oh, Father, use my ransom life in any way you choose, and let my song forever be my only boast is you.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.